American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, January 28th, 2007. And you guessed it, that's right, back and in your face, this would be Newsreel, the WAG Global Sit Rep for Corporate Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening to this program, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, and you can get to my journal, which is a journal, not a forum. It's not an email. It is not a method to contact me. Not that I mind people talking and whatnot, but let's just be you know, really honest about what that is. It would be a journal. And I've been called all kinds of names because, I screen the comments on the journal. Because when you don't screen comments on the journal, people line up on you and they try to, they try to manipulate your publicity so they can use it to their own ends. And I've experienced this a number of times. But that said, if you'd like to go along to my live journal and take a look at what's going on inside of my head, as well as follow along with all news links that belong to the show, it's every single Monday that's there, and you can get to my live journal by sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Osprey Radio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, SRN1, 99 Nuke FM, and CFMU 93.3 in Hamilton, Ontario. That's an FM station in Hamilton that rebroadcasts this show. Very, very cool. Happy about that. Actually, I think generally doing the show is a very good thing. It's a lot better than I thought it was. You know, you never give credit to yourself. You know, it's true. You never do. Let's say you're really good at making pie, which, you know, there's things to be good at. Making pie is one of them. And I've recently been on a big pie kick. I've been eating a lot of pie. I enjoy pie. You know, people go, oh, pie is so bad for you. Yeah, no, aspartame is bad for you. Pie is just, you know, full of flavory, sugary goodness. I mean, really? Really? You know, I mean, what's wrong with pie? I think if there's one thing that could, you know, unite North America behind a common cause, I think that cause would be pie. I really do. There's nothing wrong with pie. Vegans can't give you shit on pie. They can't give you anything to do with pie. I don't mean 3.14. I mean the actual cheesy comestible, you know, the large, you know, fruit-filled thing that mom made. Yeah, pie. That's, you know, and it makes a lot more sense to you know, stand up and fight for pie, I think. You know, if someone was going to take my pie, I'd be pretty upset with that. I'd share my pie. I think I'd do that. I think I'd make sure I could, there'd be enough pie to go around, but I wouldn't have a problem sharing my pie. You know, I don't know about fighting for, you know, different things and whatever, but pie is good. You know, I just wanted to say that. This isn't even a metaphor. It's not even a euphemism. I've just recently been on a big pie kick, and I highly advise you. When was the last time you had a slice of pie? I mean, really, honest to God, what was the last time that you had a slice of some good, you know, fruit-filled pie? If I could miracle one through the internet Tron style to you, I'd probably go for a strawberry rhubarb. You know, strawberry rhubarb pie is pretty goddamn good. You know, and of all the pies I've tried, blueberry pie is very good. I've never been an apple pie guy. It's got its place. It's got its place. That's very necessary to ice cream, which I'm not a big fan of ice cream with my pie. But I do think that fruit-filled strawberry rhubarb pie is better. But enough of the seriousness, we have to get onto the frivolity of the show. Got some feedback. Wow, do I ever have a lot of stories for you guys this week. This is a crazy week. Dear Sean, I started thinking about the Pirate Bay and Sealand and all of that, which I've got some more feedback on that too. But anyway, why are they trying to buy a country whose very existence is disputed? There are a lot of very, very poor nations. I'm not even going to get into the ethics of precedence. But if they're taking donations, why don't they go buy a small, poor, recognized nation? Of course, they'd invest in the infrastructure. Or like Chavez loves ripping on the U.S. Why don't they just go and like talk to him? Truth be told, probably wouldn't end up costing anyone a cent. And everyone would enjoy a really good laugh to boot. Who knows? Might start up some wicked fabs in Venezuela and make some open source rugged books for the masses. And like solar sleeves. That was from the Resonator Twins. Who, you know, I mean, that's a plan. It's a plan. Might happen. I don't think it's going to happen because, you know, those people in those nations, they're not really worried about setting up free server farms. I'd rather, you know, they're more concerned about getting their people something to eat. And apparently this Hugo Chavez guy is a bit of a market whore. I mean, the guy, he claims, you know, to be all for the people and shit like that. But apparently if you go down to that country and take a look around, it's pretty fucked up in there. Like, it's messed. It's messed in Venezuela right now. Dear Sean, first off, welcome back. Thank you very much. Regarding the email from the Marine who is having thoughts of suicide and depression, he sounds as if he is suffering from PTSD and needs to get some help fast. I concur. Yeah, this was on last week's show. I got this sort yourself out advice column from a Marine, having a hard time of it, just got back from Iraq, yada yada. We have lost too many good men and women from all services, and we need to help them. Although this may take some time, he must contact his local VA hospital to get the help. Here, there's a link for the VA hospital and the National Center for PTSD, which I've linked off of my live journal. Yet another good reason to go there, and it's not just for the pie. If they can cannot get to him right away, and he needs to seek counseling from a licensed professor or an organization, if that happens to be his local clergy. You know, churches are around. If he's near a base, there may be a counseling center set up for active or veteran military. And he should be able to use it. I really hope this will help him out when we don't lose another veteran to PTSD. After 22 years of service, I hate to see this as another Vietnam with some same psych problems. It's been going this way for a long while. Once again, good to hear from you, and take care, Falcon Walk. You know, and it's true. I was calling this a while back, not to say I told you so, and not to try to, you know, turn this into something about me. But, you know, we did call it. We did say, hey, you know what? PTSD is going to be big, and it hasn't even started yet. We haven't even seen the beginning of the revelations on that, you know? Sealand apparently didn't work out, by the way. But that's a new story later, just to touch on that. But, you know, buddy, I wonder if you're still listening, if you're still checking out this show. Hopefully you haven't, you know, done anything stupid. But for any of the Armed Forces members, and I know there's a few. I know there's a few who listen to the show. And if not, well, there's a few who should be listening to the show. You know, if you can't donate, distribute. That's what I say. And I'd like to send a big prop out to all the servicemen and women out there in the Canadian and in the American Armed Forces. You know what, guys? Hey, things get fucked up. Things get really, really messed up. And it's just a matter, hopefully, that you've got some kind of a support net that exists for you so that you have at least someone to talk to and talk with to, you know, get your headspace and timing sorted out. But that's why I'm here, setting up your headspace and timing. Dear Sean, more feedback. Check it out. I travel for work, and my Leatherman has been part of my life. Yes, once you have a multi-tool, you know, Leatherman's a brand name. There's SOG makes one. There's Gerber makes one, which I don't like. And there's a couple other ones. But anyway, they started to be part of my life. Before I started watching patrolling, when I stumbled upon SKTFM and patrolling. Yes, of course. Recently, Recently, while boarding in Detroit Metro, I forgot to remove my Leatherman from my belt. It's happened to me. This tool is such a part of me. It's like an appendage. True. It's natural. I'm sure you understand. Fortunately for me, they do not allow modern-day MacGyver on airplanes. Yeah. So it's like they use situations like 9/11 to disarm the public and strip us of our rights, which, of course, yes, they do. I would not use the Leatherman as an example. So now, because of this, I've lost my original Leatherman. It was a first design setup. Boy, this irked me. I needed at least four times that next week for work and had to suffer using makeshift tools in this place, which is bad. You know, if you talk about multi-tool quality, Leatherman does make a really good multi-tool. Their new stuff is really good, too. Victorinox got into the game, too, and they made a pretty good one. The thing that irked me just as much as losing the tool was the fact I couldn't leave it and pick it up when I returned. When I walked away from another one of these poor security checkpoints, I saw him put it in his pocket. Too bad. I'd really screwed it up recently while using it to its full length. Ha ha ha. What are your views on this airplane security BS? Well, first of all, it's kind of dumb of you to not, like, let's, this is from Saren, okay? Saren, buddy, you know, it's shitty. Airport security is, well, first of all, it's a joke. I mean, you know, come on. You can get on board the plane if you really want to. This is just something to keep everybody terrified. And it's a reminder is what it is. It's to remind you we're at war. There's terror everywhere. Oh, my God. Right? So that's what its role is. And sometimes we forget. sometimes we forget that, hey, you know what? You should probably do the Hey Macarena on yourself there. Make sure you got all your kit off yourself before you wander through the airport. Because I'll take it. And losing kit sucks. There's no two ways about it. It's just a horrible thing to have to go through. Losing kit is a horrible deal. On to Sort Yourself Out. Dear Sean, Sort Yourself Out is a section of the show where I dispatch my worldly advice, which, of course, you know, I probably wouldn't even listen to me because, well, I don't know. I mean, that's a question. Am I qualified to give advice? I mean, I'm not a doctor. What makes me able to give advice? The number one factor, I think, is the fact that I'm honest. I'm a pretty honest guy. You know, I mean, everybody's got an agenda, and everybody you meet is trying to either sell you something or get, even if it's just an idea. Everybody does that. I suppose I do, too. I like the idea of freedom. Well, Sean, if you like the idea of freedom, why do you screen comments on your live journal? This is something, you know. There's a difference between freedom, being free, and being, rude. You know, I'm not going to go to your house and spray paint on your walls. So why would you come to my house and spray paint on my walls? That doesn't make sense. Well, it's art. You're infringing on my artistic merit. Well, no. You're coming in and using my world as a canvas, which is mine, right? This is what I'm using as my territory space. You know, I pissed on the corners of the property and everything. Now I've marked it. It's mine. You know, and I've got some legal representation to show that it is, in fact, mine, and this is how our culture exists. You know, and if people can't... That's a weird thing about the whole counterculture, eh? You got, you know, guys who like the music and, you know, they're you know, in the closet with the counterculturists. You know, they'll go home on the weekends and then they'll put on the T-shirt. You know what I mean? Which is fine. That's great. I have no problem with that. It's not like you're a lesser human being or anything. I think that that's pretty normal. And then you got the people living in the van down by the river who, you know, are like greeting each other by saying namaste. Well... You know, I don't know. I don't know how effective those people are. You know, I mean, what are they doing to contribute to society? Like, what are they doing to contribute to the alternative counterculture movement? Or are they just kind of marking time and draining resources? I don't know. Maybe they're helping people heal. Maybe, did you see what I'm saying here, though? You know, I mean, if you're going to be involved in the counterculture, use that as something to define yourself, you should do something. Maybe that something is helping people. Maybe that something is making music. Maybe that something is, well, it could be anything. Maybe it's chanting. Fuck, I don't know. I don't know, but I mean, you should be doing something. You know, if you're going to get involved, do something, even if anything, you know, to help things along, help promote the ideas. Hand out CDs, not mine. If you want to hand out, like, you know, encourage people to get their hands on Jell-O and encourage people to get their hands on Noam Chomsky, if you happen to agree with them. Hell, if you're Smokehouse, encourage them to get their hands on Rush Limbaugh. Only if you're Smokehouse, though. No, I'm kidding. No, I mean, you know, whatever your beliefs are, we need to have some healthy, you know, difference of opinion so that everything doesn't turn into Jesus camp. Which, by the way... If you get a chance, you want to check out the movie Jesus Camp. Holy Jesus. Okay, you really need to see this film. I highly recommend, you know those people who don't understand why you're angry at them because they're Christian? You know the ones who are like, oh yeah, well, you know, I don't understand. It's like, you know, Jesus is the way. And if you could just see that, we got so much love for you, and you could just put that on the cross and give all your burdens to him and blah, 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 blah. You know, they hit you with all that stuff. If you know anybody like that, invite them over, bust out the Bible, and watch Jesus Camp, you know, and it'll scare the shit out of them. You know, these people, you know, what they're doing, say what you like about it, but what they are doing in Jesus Camp, they can base in Scripture, okay, which is like a big thing. To the Bible crowd, right? Everything's got to be based in Scripture. You can fucking do anything you want. You could kill gay people, provided it's based in Scripture. You know, burn Harry Potter, because he's a witch. This is the mentality, you know. So this is why, you know, Mud Hut religions scare the shit out of me, because I don't want anyone talking about fictitious characters like they're real, and talking about burning them scares me. But back to the advice. Dear Sean, sort yourself out. I've just received 3 of the emails from my ISP as detailed below, internet service provider. I've been caught downloading stuff from the torrent network. I was downloading what I thought was abandonware games for the Sega Dreamcast. You cannot buy these games for the console new, and I've taken on down all my torrents and removed the files from my PC. However, I'm shitting myself. After doing some research on the net, I could be taken to court, and this could cost me upwards of $10,000. I really do not have that kind of money. More likely is I will get off with a warning, but I'm not sure. Well, yeah, I bet you they're going to let you off with a warning. I wouldn't worry about it. I'm not sure what to do next. I cannot sleep because I'm worrying about this. I really do not want people busting in my door at 3 a.m. Okay, well, they're not going to bust in your door unless they have to. They might, but here's the first thing that happens. If you are afraid and you believe that they are coming after you and they have locked onto you, you get your hands on a military-grade scrubber. This is something that after you shred your data, you put it through the computer, and it scrubs out all files so it cannot be recovered, okay? And then you claim ignorance. They got to prove you did it. Well, we got it going to this location. Oh, well, that was at this time. See, my computer was zombied. Yeah, I was online there, and I was doing some chatting and stuff, and I installed, I don't know, ICQ or something like that. And, you know, it was. I just noticed that my hard drive was moving a lot, and I talked to one of my friends, and he thought that I might have been zombied. So I just did a complete format and reinstall, and it's been fine ever since. Oh, well, it was coming from this address. Yeah, it was zombied. Who did it? I don't know, hence zombied. Some necromancer somewhere zombied my computer. It's not my fault. That would be my argument, and then a lawyer would run with that. But, you know, that's just me. But take this kind of shit seriously. If they phone you up, like, I am not up on the law thing. I go for low-hanging fruit solutions always. Some people say, well, you should fight. You should fight the machine. You should stand up and get in there and, you know, stand up for the rights, blah, 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 blah. Okay, yes. And some people wonder why I've never taught people about, you know, weapons and fortifications and all that kind of stuff in the patrolling series and anything I've ever done. Everything I've ever done has always been very informative. We don't need any more violence, and we don't need any more fighting, really. And when you're dealing with the government, okay, and a lot of these, they have deep pockets and they have a lot of time. And they can fuck your whole life completely up. You don't want to make your life about fighting the government. Because, you know, what are you going to accomplish doing that? Are you going to beat the government? The best thing you can hope for is that they leave you alone. So, you know, bend like a reed. Be like water, my friend. That's what Bruce Lee says. So that's what I would do in that particular scenario. I would kind of form with it, let it roll over you, and in its wake, your path becomes clear. See what I'm saying? So anyway, you remember last week, by the way, I had somebody talk to me about MP3 players. They're like, hey, I want to buy an MP3 player. What should I get? Give me some advice. And I said, I don't know. I'm not really up on my MP3-ness. I use a pocket PC with a big gig card and all the rest of it. But anyway, back to this MP3 player thing. See, the kit tip I received was that if you're going to get an MP3 player, get one with a gig or more of memory and a searchable directory files on the screen that shows more than just the file name, so you can get up and down and do all the rest of it. That's what Rogue Tripper sent in, which I thought was pretty good. You know, yeah, I mean, that's practical. There's a lot out there with a gig, with over a gig of memory, and there's a lot out there with, so you can search and find the songs you want. A search feature would be really good. Again, I use a pocket PC because I have no need for an MP3 player because I just run it all through my little cyborg device. Eventually, you know, Project Gargoyle will come to fruition, and I will be able to wire myself up, you know, quasi-permanently. But until that happens, you know, that's where we're at. So, yeah, now if you're going to be buying an MP3 player, make sure you get one that has a searchable database. That would be just my advice. And apparently that would be Rogue Tripper's advice as well. Thank you very much, Rogue Tripper. Into the news! Well, that's why you signed up, right? 18 minutes in. Good God. 18 minutes in, we're already into the news. All right, I got a ton of it for you. I've got like 10 news stories here. All right, here we go. Cameras watching cameras. You know you're paranoid when? When you've got cameras watching cameras, speed cameras in the Scottish borders may be soon be monitored by security cameras to protect them from vandals. So if you try to vandalize one of these cameras, the security camera comes over and says, you can't park here. Oh no, the security camera doesn't do anything. It just sits there and films it. And that's going to protect you from a vandal. Oh, what's that? Oh, that's a guy in a black toque and a black hoodie and black pants. Yeah, that's what that is. Yeah, and he's taking a crowbar to the camera. There it goes. Oh, big hit. Oh, it's down. Any cops in the area? No. Oh. Well, I guess we got some good footage for America's Funniest. It is among the measures being considered by the Lothian and Border Safety Camera Partnership. Lothian and Border Safety. There have been several camera attacks. Camera attacks. This is when you're walking down the street and like the cameras come up and they're like, ah! There have been several camera attacks in just 3 years. Oh, 3 years. 3 years? You're whining about camera attacks in 3 years with machines being set alight, damaged, or pulled over. Pull over. Cameras on the A68, A1, and A697 in Berwickshire have all been targeted, prompting the partnership to look at ways of increasing security. Colin McNeil, who heads up the group, said that each attack had a significant impact. Every time it happens, it's inconvenient and costly, and it's a crime! You know, these are people who've got their priorities all fucked up. It should be, it's a crime, it's costly, and it's inconvenient. But no, it's inconvenient, costly, and a crime. It's obviously something we are concerned about to such a degree. They're now looking at potential ways of monitoring sites. I think you should post security guards at the camera locations to look after the cameras. It's just retarded, you know. If you're going to start putting up surveillance equipment everywhere, people who do not want the surveillance equipment are going to take it down and be angry about it. They're going to get angry about it. And eventually, it'll come to this. Now, you know, every once in a while, I come across an AfterNow-style story that just freaks the hell out of me. And this is one of them, too, from the good people in Israel. You know, recently, with the new president being charged with rape and everything over there, I mean, I like Israel. I understand that, you know, Palestine, everybody's pretty pissed off at these people, but, you know, I kind of like the Israelis. I think they're pretty okay. But anyway, Israel is developing a robot the size of a hornet to attack terrorists. Now imagine this. You've got refugee camps in the Gaza Strip or in Palestine, and these insect-sized robots attack people. Now this article is a very weird article. And although the prototype will not fly for 3 years, Killer Micro Air Vehicles. So that's what they're calling a MAV. I think they should call it a KMAV. Are much closer than that. British Special Forces already use, check this out, a 6-inch MAV aircraft called WASPs for reconnaissance in Afghanistan. The $3,000 WASP was operated with a Game Boy style controller and is nearly silent, so it can get very close without being detected. A new development will reportedly see the WASP fitted with C4 explosive warhead for kamikaze attacks on snipers. One newspaper dubbed it the Talibanator. The Talibanator. Jesus, that just rolls off the tongue. You know, you got to wonder who they got working for these guys. Fred Davis, Technical Director of the Assessment and Demonstrations Division of the Air Force Research Laboratory Munitions Directorate at Elgin Air Force Base in Florida, confirmed that the United States has ambitions for future micro munitions, which he says will be pocket-sized with specific payloads. You're not going to be knocking down walls. What we're looking at is functional defeats. You know, I got to wonder about the language that they use on these things here. It's frightening, some of the language that they go on. It goes on, talks about like things like gravel mines, button bombs, all this kind of stuff. Follow the link. You know, they also have fire ant warfare, where they have tiny robots that can only do limited damage, but enough to have a creative effect to overwhelm an opponent. Now, the thing that really got me was there's a PDF, link off this page, where they talk about poison needles being put on micro robots that fly to kill targets. But they say here, and I love the way they phrase this beautifully. Ready? That's why not put poison needles and stings? This is great. We'll have these little 6-inch robotic cockroaches. They can fly around and kill people. We'll load them up with rice and it'll be fantastic. Well, unfortunately, and I'm going to quote the article here. It says, quote, treaty obligations would prevent military from using this approach, end quote. But the CIA developed... Actually, the article goes on to say, but the CIA developed lethal needles using shellfish toxin in the 50s, and the technology is off the shelf. Okay. And of course, they go on to say that the bad guys can use micro air vehicles too. Yes, I'm sure a lot of, you know, guys sitting in third world nations with an AK-47 and a couple of magazines, they're really going to be up with their Game Boy making sure that they're taking out, you know, targets, you know, all cyberpunk style. Very, very interesting stuff. Really makes you want to make sure you've got, like, magnetic shielding around your house, because I can't imagine that these devices would be able to stand up to magnetic shielding. Like, you know, if you were to throw up a big magnetic field and the computer walks through it and gets destroyed, you know, kind of like a little bit of Tempest going on there, maybe a little bit of microwave action going on there, metal detectors hooked to microwaves, I don't know, something like that. But technology marches on, and the face of warfare is, you know, changing constantly and getting more and more ugly as time progresses. In Microsoft news, now I got some Microsoft news here. Now, before we get started, I do want to say that I am not a religious person. I do not adhere to, you know, the whole operating system defining you as a human being. Okay, some folks, I have a friend who's a Microsoft engineer, quite high up in the company. I've got friends at DEF CON. I've got friends who use Linux. Hell, I've even got friends who use, like, FreeBSD. I got friends who use an Apple. Well, I have a friend who uses an Apple. But anyway, you know, I mean, it's just a computer, okay? That's all it is. So if your software, if you got a program that's starting to do stuff that you don't like, don't use the program. That's it. Microsoft is starting to, you know, make me a little bit concerned here. Now, Microsoft landed in the Wikipedia doghouse, which is fine, you know, because, I mean, what's Wikipedia really? Wikipedia is just a group of guys doing this stuff. I've had problems with Wikipedia myself before, but that is a totally different issue. Anyway, Microsoft got into it with Wikipedia. Tuesday after it offered to pay a blogger to change technical articles on the community-produced Internet Encyclopedia site. While Wikipedia is known as the encyclopedia that anyone can tweak, founder Jimmy Wales and his cadre of volunteer editors, writers, and moderators have blocked public relations firms, campaign workers, or anyone else perceived as having a conflict of interest from posting fluff or slanting entries. Paying for a Wikipedia copy is considered a definite no-no. So that's interesting. We are very disappointed there that Microsoft was taking that approach. Well, you know, it's business. They want to try to, you know, throw money at it so that they can, you know, have a favorable spin. But that's not what they did. Microsoft acknowledged that it had approached the writer and offered to pay him for the time it would take to correct what the company felt were inaccuracies in the Wikipedia article on an open source document standard and in a rival format put forward by Microsoft. Very interesting. So these folks are pretty into what they're doing here. I mean, Microsoft is the 10,000-pound gorilla. Okay, these guys are the king of the castle. So you're going to see them do stuff like this. And this is exactly the kind of mind war that exists in day-to-day life. And they go on, they talk about that. So, you know, they're paying money for that. That's not so bad. You know, you look at that and go, well, all right, so they're doing PR. I'm guilty of the same thing where I wanted to change things and do things on Wikipedia. I don't like how they define pedophilia. Never have. I mean, it's pretty forgiving, I think, towards pedophiles. I don't agree with it. But, you know, that's their website. They can do what they want with their website. It doesn't mean I have to use it. Whatever. You know, I've got a big entry on there. It's a huge entry on me in Wikipedia. Fuck, it goes on for days. More Microsoft news. Oh, incidentally, before we go any further, I did want to say I don't dislike Wikipedia. But this is a news program, and you need to know that Microsoft tried to pay off, you know, Wikipedia to change an article. But that on itself is not that big of a deal. And some people, especially folks who work for Microsoft, seem to have this thing, I don't understand why everyone's against us. Well, not everyone's against you, but you need to understand that some things that, you know, companies do, because companies want money, and money is you know, sort of the deciding factor, so they behave like they're psychopathic. Well, Bill Gates donates a lot of money. Yes, and a little charity hides a multitude of sins. Just because you give children money doesn't give you the right to cut up hookers, okay? You have to, you know, ethical business practice is more than just, you know, paying off some starving kids or, you know, donating for this or that. There's a lot more to it. And I'm not trying to pick a fight with the Microsoft crowd here. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just, you know, drawing attention to the fact that don't allow yourself to be bought off as the media would be bought off with a little bit of propaganda. More Microsoft news. When Microsoft introduced, now this one here is pretty interesting. When Microsoft introduced its long-awaited Windows Vista operating system this month, it will have an unlikely partner to thank for making its flagship product safe and secure for millions of computer users across the world. The National Security Agency. The National Security Agency apparently worked with Microsoft for the new Windows Vista. For the first time, the giant software maker acknowledged the help of a secretive agency better known for eavesdropping on foreign officials and, more recently, U.S. citizens as part of the Bush administration's effort to combat terrorism. Interesting. So the NSA is working with Microsoft on the security efforts of the program. So let's just stop it right there. The article goes on. They talk about the NSA's impact may be felt widely. Windows commands more than 90% of the worldwide market share, operating system. So if you've got 90% of the market share, okay, and you want to make sure that your program's safe for people to use, right? Who would you talk to? Who would be the guys you'd contact on that front? Well, it would be the NSA, wouldn't it? I mean, that's their job. You know, and if you've got more money than Jesus, you know, why don't you Jesus? You like the way I say Jesus? Pretty good, eh? Jesus. Anyway, if you got more money than Jesus, then, you know, you would be able to pay ex-NSA or NSA guys, you know, to secure your system. It's interesting, though, that they're paying the NSA, though, because, you know, although the NSA is a fine organization, nothing wrong with the NSA. If there's any NSA people listening right now, if you guys could send me some swag, any government, any three-letter acronym, you know, hey, give me some swag. You know, I'd love to get a CIA hat or something like that. That'd be great. But anyway, you know, honestly, though, the NSA, they're a great organization. You know, they don't make policy. They enforce it. They're a lot like soldiers. But the NSA, you would think that you'd be able, because there's good people and bad people within the NSA, just like in any organization. So why would Microsoft, because it's got the money, hire specialists who used to work with the NSA? Hire people out of the NSA, bring them under the banner of Microsoft, and keep them around, because security doesn't go away. Why would you employ the entire NSA to help you and then keep it secret? I mean, if I had the NSA helping me produce this program on security, I'd be like, you know, Rant Media and the National Security Agency presents Newsreel. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be making a big deal about it. I wouldn't be hiding it behind, you know, closed doors. I don't understand that. Why would you not talk about it? I guess, you know, but I'm not that smart. You know, this is why I'm an internet DJ. Clearly, I'm kind of stupid. You know, and that's funny too, isn't it? Isn't it funny how much we belittle ourselves? Just to put this on hold with the NSA thing for a minute. Isn't it funny? You ever notice how much you talk down about yourself? Oh, I don't know what I'm actually thinking. I'm probably just dumb. But, you know, hey, I don't know much, but it seems to me that you ever notice how much we belittle ourselves just in day-to-day life? It's interesting. That stuff has an impact on your brain after all. I wonder how you do things differently if you were to say something like, wow, huh, I did that right. Well, that's because I'm awesome. How would your self-image change? It's just a thought. But anyway, back to this NSA thing. So I don't understand why they wouldn't be really forefront with this, but that's when we lead to our next story. You like my segue there? Speaking of segues, did you hear about the Dutch? Or is it not the Dutch? Yeah, it is the Dutch. The Dutch are giving their bomb squad guys Segway scooters so they could drive around town. It's about the most cyberpunk cop-looking thing I'd ever seen in my life. But anyway, see, this next story now, so what do we got? We got Microsoft, right? Microsoft is, you know, partnered up with the NSA. That's fine. You know, no problem there. We think that that's fine. And they're trying to manipulate, you know, Wikipedia, which is no big deal. But then we discover they're working with the NSA, and they admit that. They admit that. But then, you know, once the WOGs get a hold of this, that NSA thing where they're looking for security, you know, where they want to make sure that the Windows is secure, that's fine. But listen to this. In more and still more Microsoft news comes to me from Skyburst. A careless mistake by Microsoft programmers has revealed that a special access codes prepared by the National Security Agency. Okay, let me start that again, because this is important. A careless mistake by Microsoft programmers has revealed that special access codes prepared by the National Security Agency have been secretly built into Windows. The NSA access system is built into every version of the Windows operating system now in use, except early releases of Windows 95 and its predecessors. The discovery comes close on the heels of the revelations earlier this year that the U.S. software giant Lotus had built an NSA help information trapdoor in its note system, and its security functions and other software systems had been deliberately crippled. The first discovery of the new NSA access system was made 2 years ago by British researcher Dr. Nick Van Someren. But it was only a few years ago when a second researcher discovered the access system. With it, he found evidence linking it to the National Security Agency. Computer security specialists have been aware for 2 years because I remember reporting on this before, that unusual features were contained inside a standard Windows software driver used for security and encryption functions. The ADV API.dll works closely with Microsoft Internet Explorer, but will only run cryptographic functions that the U.S. government allows and Microsoft to export. That information is bad enough news from a European standpoint. Now it turns out that the ADV API will run special programs inserted and controlled by the NSA. As yet, no one knows what these programs are or what they do. What? Let me read that again. It turns out that this driver will run special programs inserted and controlled by the NSA, and as yet, no one knows what these programs are or what they do. Now, that's disturbing to me. I find that more than slightly disturbing. Dr. Nick Van Someren reported at last year's crypto conference that he had disabled the ADVPI driver. He found it contained two different keys. It was used by Microsoft to control the cryptographic functions enabled in Windows and in compliance with U.S. export regulations. But the reason for building a second key and who owned it remained a mystery. Now, this is very interesting. It goes on and on and on and on. Now, the thing is, you look at this and you go, wow, that's pretty heavy stuff. But when I tell you that this article is from 1999, you go, what? Yeah, the NSA has been working with Microsoft for like 10 years. So, and that's the stuff that we know about. That's the stuff we know about. So Windows Vista, I don't know. I'm not really into spending $3,000 on a new computer just so I can run an operating system. That doesn't seem like the reason why to own an operating system. And I've been threatening to get into Linux for some time. So if there's any penguins out there who are willing to... I've got a Sony Vaio here, a PCGK33. I think I might put Linux on it just to give it a go. Maybe when I get a new system, I'll do something. But it seems to me that... why wouldn't you use Linux? Let's look at this. Let's look at this for a minute. Let's take a step back from the whole OS operating system thing. Why would a person who uses an Apple not learn how to use a PC? Well, the answer is obvious. It is because of the learning curve. Once you learn something, you don't want to change it. Once you learn Linux, you don't want to have to learn something else. So it's your comfort zone. You don't want to leave your comfort zone. But again, you either master technology or you allow the technology to master you. And since the NSA has been working with Microsoft for years, that's something to be aware of. You know, don't say you didn't know. A lot of you know this. The NSA, do the research. It's there. It's kind of pointless to be worried about people looking at your files and stuff like that. It's a little pointless to be worried about privacy when you got the NSA able to listen to your VoIP phone calls. Built in. And you agreed to it with the end user license agreement. I mean, this is how they play these legal ninjutsu games to take away your rights. And the whole thing is to prevent terrorism. The news is out like a fat bitch in dodgeball. It's true. That was sent to me by Skyburst. Now, getting back to this CLAN thing, because you're thinking, well, the NSA's out there and my computer isn't safe. What am I going to need? I'm going to need a place that I can dump my data. And that's what a data haven is. Data havens were, I don't know if he thought them up, but Bruce Sterling talked about it in his book, Islands in the Net. If you haven't got a chance to read Islands in the Net, you should read it. It's not a bad book. Pretty good book. And it covers a lot of the terms like SCOP and stuff like that I use on the show from time to time. So, you know, something to look at. But on this CLAN thing, this is the article I got here. His Royal Highness, Prince Michael of CLAN, said in an interview with CBC's The Hour, that's with this George Strabalopoulos guy, pretty nice guy, that buying CLAN is probably a good way to circumvent international copyright law, but that he won't sell CLAN to the Pirate Bay. Yarr. CLAN, Prince Michael, also known as Michael Bates, said that the following about the activities from the popular BitTorrent tracker. It's theft of proprietary rights. It doesn't suit us at all. In fact, I've written a book and Hollywood is making a movie out of it. So it would go right against the grain to go into the file sharing thing. Oh, wow. So he wrote a book and he's going to make some money with it. And so he can't talk about it. Oh, CLAN is currently prized at 750 million euros. Which is equal to nearly 1 billion U.S. dollars, a sum of money that would be impossible for the Pirate Bay to raise in any way. Prince Michael said that maybe some wealthy Russian who doesn't want to have a radioactive isotope dropped in his cornflakes when he's not looking might be a potential buyer instead. Ha 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 ha. Well, that brings another question, too. Let's say I'm going to go to Sealand, and I'm going to start doing human experimentation at Sealand. Can anybody do anything about that? Apparently not. But that's the kind of stuff that you have to consider. How does that affect the situation? See what I mean? Sealand's Spanish estate agent, the one who came up with the price, also said the Pirate Bay may not be allowed to buy the Micronation because Sealand has pledged not to allow the sale that would damage the interest or act against the UK. Oh, terrorism! Yeah. But not to worry, the Pirate Bay still has eyes on some other islands and Micronations. The good thing is they're a lot cheaper than Sealand with nothing more than a pile of rust and concrete anyway, which is true, and we've talked about that. So we're going to have to watch and shoot with the whole Sealand thing. It's unfortunate. I guess I'm in love with the idea. You know, the concept of, you know, this abandoned oil platform turned into like some sort of cyberpunk data haven is pretty cool to me. I like the idea. Now, Wyandi sent in some information to me here, which I was really happy about, on wet wiring news. Now, wet wiring, for those of you who don't know, is the act of inserting machines into your body, you know, like, hardware, cybernetics, essentially. A data cable made from stretched nerve cells could someday help connect computers to the human nervous system. The modified cells should form better connections with human tissue than metal electrodes currently used for the purposes such as remotely controlling prosthetics. The nervous system doesn't like nasty hard metal or plastics, says Doug Smith, who's developing the cell-based cable. So they're growing an organic cable at the University of Pennsylvania. U.S. nerve tissues can develop scarring or shrink away from metal and other non-biological materials. Nerve cells will happily grow and form new connections with nerve cells, though, Smith adds. We want to try this as an alternative to ramming something into a nerve cell or the brain. The idea is to make a kind of extension cord. So, oh, that's a good idea. Let's insert this into my brain, and it kind of grows into my brain. And my brain grows into the cords, and I've got this, like, second spinal cord that I use. That sounds like fun. That sounds like a good idea. I'll wait for that to get out of beta, okay? I taste toast. No, dude, like, Anyway, you know, they talk about this thing, and he wants to use it. Now, that says, you know, it's pretty, imagine, you know, like a synthetic nerve you can attach to your brain that gives you another extension to communicate with other things. Very, very cool. However, this article, he goes on to talk about how cool this stuff is, which is fine. I mean, and you know what? Hey, balls to you, man. I mean, you're pretty smart dude to come up with that stuff. They're glad you're working on it. I'd like to see that could be used in Mecca. There's lots of stuff you can do with that. But James adds, the guy who did all this, Christopher James, Christopher James is a dude who works on brain-computer interfaces at Southampton University in the UK. He said that this work does sound like a good idea, although directly attaching electrodes to the brain has been shown to work. The long-term effects are unknown. Which is good that he said that, you know, because you don't want kids doing this in the garage with a coat hanger. He then goes on to say that it may not be necessary to interface directly with nerves at all. In Europe, this quote now, quote, in Europe, most researchers in this field are using non-invasive EEG. And there's a link there to a mental typewriter controlled by thought alone. Holy dog shit. So I look at that and I go, if you can have a typewriter that even though I have to think about a thought very specifically and get it to work, we're not that far away from brain scanning people. And if you can brain scan people and get an output, then that makes me think, what about the whole, you know, you add the security from terrorism concept. And if I don't own the license to a movie that I've seen, could they charge me for that? Could I be going through like these little booths and they're like, oh, well, let's see. You've got 5 movies in here that you didn't pay for. So you owe the MPAA this much money. This is a whole new dimension of suck. That's the kind of stuff that I'm afraid of, and maybe it'll come down the pipe. Unless we stop it, unless we stand up and say no to corporations, that's exactly what will occur. That's how I make these predictions. I go for, you know, the worst possible scenario, see what kind of, if there's anything in place that would prevent that, any kind of consumer rights or whatever that would stand up, and if they say no, they'll do it anyway. And they'll sick their lawyers on the whole equation. It's sick and weird. And as you run from the media brain scanning booths to make sure that you paid for all your memories, if you're running away, of course, the security guards are going to hit you with tasers. But thankfully, thanks to Newsreel and the good people at G Squared Consulting, there is now a new piece of Cyberpunk kit, which I've linked off of the Live Journal, called Thor Shield. It was sent to me by Powdered Snow. Another fella sent it to me, too, but Powdered Snow was first. G Squared Consulting was formed to address the gap, this is very Dr. Strangelove, of energy weapon protection. The energy weapon protection gap! In today's market, there are more and more non-lethal energy weapons for police, military, and civilian use with no defenses from these devices. Now, that's true. They're still running an article on CNN about new pain ray makes you feel on fire. That pain ray, we've been reporting on it for 3 years. You know, oh, it's new. We're calling it on the on fire ray. Now, they're saturating in the news so everyone can hear about it. And gradually over time, the first time they deploy, they'll be like, but it's been around for years. This is part of the indoctrination so that, you know, because they just pull out, you know, particle beam weapons and start, you know, burning protesters out of their sneakers, their black dot sneakers, then, you know, people are going to get very, very upset. You start turning, you know, well, Adbuster black dot sneaker people into black dots, well, they get really upset. So you have to kind of, you know, familiarize people with the idea. Let them think that it's new. But Thor Shield is here to protect that. Thor Shield is a protective fabric lining that provides protection from non-lethal energy weapons such as a taser, stun guns, animal control devices such as cattle prods. The product has been tested with stun products up to 900,000 volts. Thor Shield protection can be applied to any type of garment as a protected layer, adding energy weapon protection. I might do this to my leather jacket. The G2 Consulting has committed to the safety of military and law enforcement personnel. Good angle. Thor Shield provides the ultimate defense available today for non-lethal energy weapons. To get information regarding this product, please call George Schultz or Greg Williams. Now, there's no price on the site, but you can buy rolls of the fabric, which means that I could build myself a Ghost in the Shell Deckard Blade Runner-style overcoat and, you know, be immune from tasers. And there, now, the interesting thing is, well, I handle tasers. What about the microwave guns? Well, their heavy lining fabric, when you go to the site, is also effective against microwave weapons. Isn't that neat? So you use that as one layer. You put a Gore-Tex layer over top, and bada boom, bada bing, you are, in fact, shockproof. You're taserific. Good plan. Or you could go the other way, too. Why don't you buy that new shock coat they got for women, you know, deconstruct that sucker, make an overcoat coat out of it, line it with the anti-taser stuff so that you can taser other people, people can't taser you. Wow, the possibilities are endless! Endless! Now, in nanotech news from John sent me this, a research team led by UC Riverside Ludwig Bartels was the first to design a molecule. Now, this is a molecule we're talking about now, that can move in a straight line on a flat surface. Now the team has found a way to attach a cargo to CO2 molecules, making the NanoWalker a molecule carrier. The work will be published in Thursday, January 18th in Science Express, the later print version of the journal Science. This is an unprecedented step forward, the realization of molecular scale machinery. Now, as scary as you know, a lot of the digital media and electronic rights stuff is, it doesn't hold a candle to how frightening nanotechnology could be. Now, nanotechnology, not to get all Luddite, okay? Not to get all Luddite, nanotechnology is a great thing. They do a lot of good stuff in nanotechnology. You could fix diseases, okay? We could get Smokey walking without a problem. You know, you could do a lot of stuff with nanotechnology and molecular sciences and all this kind of stuff. However, you want to ask yourself, where's the money? Where's the money? You're crossing people watching advertising where guys are wearing MRIs, right? And now you've got, you know, nanotech devices, and they've got drugs now that they're trying to isolate that make people trust other people so that you can come up with like a pharma slavery kind of concept that can be regulated and sustained through brain scanning. I mean, this is really off the chain. That I don't think I know of a science fiction author that had the foresight to come up with a kind of slavery state system and, you know, individual, like, loss of rights, on almost a sacred scale. We're talking about the loss of the very your what it is to be you, your soul, if I could even use that word. I mean, whether or not you believe in the soul, I mean, I would say that the brain is very, very important. And if people can regulate, license, moderate, scan, and censor your very thoughts, use delivery of nanotechnology, I mean, this, we're getting in Alex Jones territory here. But the problem is that 5 years ago, everybody thought Alex Jones was crazy. He's crazy. No one ever listened to Alex. Well, it's 5 years later and, oh, Alex was right. Shit. That's unfortunate. Yeah, that's super unfortunate. That's unfortunate on a grand scale. That's like saying World War II was unfortunate. Okay? We have got some major changes that we have to put forward on the planet. Being young people. Being people who fought that the nerds need to wake up and get a little bit more fervent about it. We need to... Maybe the idea of server isn't such a bad idea. Maybe we need to understand that freedom and rights and, you know, even the American Constitution is not a bad idea. What if we made it the North American Constitution and started to back that? You see what I'm saying? The Christians in Jesus' camp had a really interesting concept for how, like, their model for how they're going to create an army and take over the world is a good model. It's a very good model because it will work if we let it. But what if you had someone with a little bit more, oh, I don't know, not such an agenda, trying to promote freedom? What if the counterculture got a hold of like a movement like that? You know, made up symbols, clubs, you know, maybe call them clans or something, trying to get everybody working together so they can have some sort of sense of unity. But no, we don't have that because, well, the counterculture is subject to whims and people are always looking for reasons to rip on other people because there's money involved. Everyone's very easily bought off. So it's a very complex organism. But with these stories like this one coming up with nanotechnology and a lot of the pharma, you know, providing big money for this, I find it very disturbing. The technology is good, and I think nanotech is good, but I wonder and I worry about where that technology will be applied, you know? And, in mad scientist news, on that exact principle, there's a really just this. I'm going to give you a warning with this one, okay? There's a really disturbing picture of a rat with an ear growing on his back, and the guy's making these funny little jokes. And there's this animal who looks like he's on the ninth layer of hell with this ear growing on his back, and it's disgusting. But anyway, in mad scientist news, sent to me by Debrimi, animals have been getting a real workout in science lately. I love the way they phrase this stuff. They're not being cut apart alive. No, they're getting a workout. And workouts are good, right? Everybody knows that. Methuselah mice are helping humanity with aging. Methuselah mice. And there's a link to it here. Methuselah, of course, being Noah's father and the oldest figure in the Bible. Bet you didn't think I knew that, eh? Anyway, they're helping humanity with aging, where they're trying to stretch the life cycles of rats out. And so, you know, we have the world's longest living rats, I guess. Pigs are trying artificial corneas. Try to imagine what that looks like. And monkeys are getting gene manipulation. Yes, I just finished reading Next by Michael Crichton. Actually, I listened to it on audiobook, which is a very good way to listen to books. By the way, if you're driving in the car and you can only take so much of Sean Kennedy, because you know what? I can only take so much of Sean Kennedy. I highly recommend you get a hold of Crichton's book Next. Very, very good book and very important book for us to be aware of. He talks about a lot. It's a fiction book, but he has a lot of nonfiction stuff. And if it was a nonfiction book, he probably wouldn't be getting the press that he is. That forced them to work hard with no thought of reward. So let me just... monkeys get gene manipulations that force them to work hard with no thought of reward. That's just sort of a little subsection in the first sentence here. So I'm going to cover that again because I'm having difficulty understanding it. Methuselah mice are helping humanity with aging, so we're making old mice. Pigs are trying artificial corneas. That's good. You know, they're helping blind people see. And monkeys get gene manipulations that force them to work hard with no thought of reward. Okay, chimpanzees and humans are so biologically close. They estimate maybe only a 5 million year separation. There's only one acid present inside of chimpanzee blood. It's either chimpanzee or orangutan, but one of their bloods. Like, we're talking very genetically very, very close here. Okay? And they want these monkeys to work hard with no thought of reward? Holy slavery! You see why that would be bad? Why would you be researching that? Isn't there any ethics there at all? Because we can? Jesus Christ. Now, Stanford University has given famed researcher Irving Weissman permission to create a mouse-human hybrid. This intent is to inject human brain cells into the brains of developing mice and see what happens. Holy shit. The National Academy of Sciences will unveil guidelines on chimera and stem cell research this spring. Professor Henry T. Greeley, director of the Center for Law and Biosciences and a leader in the committee, has considered the proposal, told San Jose Mercury News. We concluded that if we see any signs of human brain structures, or if the mouse shows human-like behaviors, like improving memory or problem-solving, it's time to stop. Secret of NIM much? You know, I don't know. Where's all this going? Where is all of this going? That's the question that I need to have answered for me. I don't understand why we are doing the thing with the monkeys, making them work with no thought of reward. That's a little disturbing to me. So I'm going to leave you now with your daily hack, which is a wonderful device called Wiggle, a wireless geographic logging engine making maps of networks since 2001. This is a list of Wi-Fi networks and all sorts of other stuff. This is a very good website. You need to bookmark this. Poke around in there, and the uses of this become obvious. And that's all I got for you today. That's all you can handle. That's pretty much all I can handle for today. But don't worry. I'll be back next week to make sure you get the information you need to stay alive. This has been a free broadcast. That means that you can... It's very coptimistic. Thank you for... Coptimistic is work intended to be copied. And that's what this is. This is a coptimistic work, and it's free. Brought to you by the generous donations of WOGs Who Care, people who have decided that they're going to take a stand and, you know, put their money where their mouth is so that they can keep this show on the air. If you cannot donate, distribute. Give the show out to people. Everyone can distribute. Please, please, please distribute this show. I know it's kind of a backwards brain science, but if people give you media, it's only fair that you give them media back, and I want you to give them this media because it's free. And you're allowed to, and you won't go to jail, and the brain scanners won't turn you off, okay? And if you want to donate, which is also good because it helps us, and it will probably help set up our legal defense, you can send it to Sean Kennedy at Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56th Street, Delta, British Columbia, Canada, Victor 4, Mike 2, Mike 4, V4M 2M4. Thank you very much in advance for all of your lovely donations. And if you would like to help keep this daily broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca, and you can donate there. Click on the Donate tab. Digital baptisms! Melican's fiancé is now Diamond Fate. Gretchen is now Tear Gasser, and Brett is now Chimera. And thank you very much in all your assistance gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-E-L at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up an album called 1200 Micrograms. And I'm going to fade out now with one of their tracks featuring Terrence McKenna, Salvia Divinorum. And I'm out of time, everybody. But you know what? The news is out there, and the news is going to get to you, and the truth is real, and we are strong because we are a community. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
This is a news flash, folks. We interrupt this program to bring you a special announcement. A new psychoactive substance has been discovered. A very powerful psychoactive substance. The most powerful since the discovery of LSD.